Let's talk about the China economy, though. Tao Wang joins us, Head of Asia Economics and Chief China Economist at UBS Investment Bank, to discuss China's economic growth and outlook. We have had Nomura already this morning cutting their forecast for 2023 and 2022, but we're almost at the end of that year. How do you see, Tao Wang, I guess, the ongoing concerns about COVID, particularly when you look at these protests at the Foxconn plant hampering growth?
Hi, yes, good morning, good evening. So on China, we have already earlier, I think when we saw the high frequency data from out of October being very weak, we already expected the fourth quarter and first quarter next year to have a weaker growth momentum compared to the third quarter. So our growth outlook is around 3% growth for this year and 4.5% for 2023. Although I think the COVID restrictions has been tight, I think the recent signal confirms our baseline forecast that there will be easing from the spring next year onwards. And property policy, of course, have turned. And that also affirms our view that property activity should stabilize soon and rebound from second quarter next year onwards.
But maybe we have easing as soon as the weekend. I mean, is it possible that we get a cut in the triple R?
Yeah, on macro policy, yes, I think the State Council already called for using triple R and other monetary policy measures. So on the macro policy front, indeed, we could see a triple R cut. I think compared, though, to the property policy easing and the signaling of an exit plan on COVID policy, the triple R cut may not be as significant, I think, for activities. But of course, everything helps. We could see further monetary and fiscal easing ahead.
COVID policy and this adherence to strict committing to these lockdowns or snap lockdowns kind of just offsetting the positivity that we'd seen on their own 16-point plan for the property sector, for example. I mean, you've kind of got this thought of trying to help the economy at the same time you're stifling it too.
Well, I think on COVID policy, we never expected significant easing in the winter months, given that cases are likely to rise, and we are seeing that increasing. But the getting rid of the quarantine of secondary, close contact is very important to prevent shutting down more areas and quarantine more people. And most importantly, I think the COVID policy announcement was about getting people to increase vaccination, increasing booster shot, preparing drugs and hospital facilities. I think it's very clear that the government has an exit plan. But in the winter months, I think they're not ready and cases are rising. So the implementation of current restrictions will still be relatively tight. Yeah. But I think the most important thing is the end is in sight.
Well, the COVID story really is the dominant theme here. I mean, we can talk about the property market and whether or not you're expecting stability going forward, given the fact that after the Party Congress, some initiatives, a plan at least, was rolled out. I'm wondering whether or not there are going to be persistent credit worries away from property for some time, given the economic weakness that we're describing.
Well, I think in the economy, the biggest credit risk is related to the property. The government had been easing throughout this year. It was not sufficient. So the 16-point announcement was really a turning point, in our view, in their attitude towards the property developers. And it has been a very comprehensive approach, including, extending loans, more bond issuance, trust products, and easing of the pre-sales proceeds. So I think that will help significantly delivering funding to developers and hence reduce the credit risk and therefore also the spillover effect into the rest of the economy. For the rest of the economy, I think some SMEs obviously have been suffering, but they usually don't get a lot of loans, and the bank's exposure to SMEs in terms of size is relatively small. So I think the turning point on property policy easing is very significant.
Yeah, you've done a bit of research into this. So just tell us a little bit more about the impact of the role that banks are going to play in supporting the property sector, because you're saying some of the large SOE banks could be laggards here.
So the large SOE banks has been told by the regulators again this weekend, right, to increase lending They have been reluctant to lend to the developers given the risk associated with the property sector. But now I think the regulators are telling them that they should extend the loans, they're expiring, and their loan classification would not be changed. They should lend to these ongoing projects or suspended projects that need funding to continue construction. And then should there be NPOs rising from it, credit officer would not be held responsible for lack of due diligence. So giving them a lot of leeway and also basically telling them that the loan concentration ratio, which was another limit imposed on banks in 2020, that will be extended until further notice as well. So they are telling banks to basically support the property sector. I think that's going to be quite helpful. Of course, that means banks are doing national service to some extent. But I think if they didn't, the negative impact of a deeper property downturn on their balance sheet would be even worse.
Tao Wang, thank you so much for being with us. Tao Wang is head of Asia Economics, also chief China economist at UBS Investment Bank, joining us from right outside Princeton, New Jersey here on Daybreak Asia.